The Mickey Miles Podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at MEI-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Hi, Mike and Michelle. This is Rick Pete from Crystal Lake, Illinois, and just want to say that I just love the Mickey Miles Podcast. Keep doing what you're doing.
This is the Mickey Miles Podcast. From 5K fun runs to full marathons, this is the podcast that helps you learn everything you need to know about running Disney races. Now, here are your hosts for the Mickey Miles Podcast, Michelle Scribner-McLean and Mike Scopa.
Welcome to episode 349 of the Mickey Miles Podcast. My name is Mike Scopa, and this is part two of our Star Wars Race Weekend Review with Laura Gilbreth and Lee Zimmerman. And without further ado, I'm going to turn this over to Michelle.
All right. So we kind of skipped over the expo. I'm kind of going like in the order where you were going, Mike, because you didn't get to go to the expo until a little bit later. So do you want to fill us in about the expo? Was it pretty typical of other expos?
Oh, me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I thought it was very subdued. Of course, when I got there, it was about an hour or two after the 10K to pick up my my race shirts and my coast-to-coast bracelet and Rebel Challenge thing. I don't know. It just seemed kind of subdued. It didn't seem like there was a lot of interesting things there. I'm always interested in finding what the race weekend themed shirts look like, and that was kind of nice. I noticed a lot of Star Wars merchandise, but I don't know. I was not in the market to buy anything either, so that might have had something to do with it.
So our expos are always smaller and less energetic / crazy than, especially, you know, the shock from coming from Marathon Weekend to Walt Disney World to.
Yeah, you're right.
It just there's half the number of exhibitors. There's a fraction of the runners, and so that I actually think those are nice things. But yeah, you don't have quite the frenetic energy that you do with the huge expo and packet pickup on the East Coast.
And so, Laura, you guys usually pick up a few items. Did you get everything you wanted?
Well, I think kind of mostly got what we wanted, but weren't really buying much this time.
So I'm typically the one nowadays who buys extra stuff, especially Avengers and Star Wars, because I'm a geek boy fan. Mm-hmm. So I got, and I've started collecting, I think Disney's done a really good job on these weekend shirts, which are cotton and, you know, tend to have all the characters and all the races and stuff like that. And so by default, I've kind of been buying the race weekend shirt lately. And then I looked, there was still a decent amount of Star Wars race specific stuff. I found out after the fact that there actually had been a really cool hoodie that they had run out of already. Because I saw the women's one and talked to somebody at the expo who said, oh yeah, there was a guy's one that was, you know, like this. And I never saw that. And there was a short sleeve race shirt that I would have got instead of the one I did, that they were down to like only medium. So the difference between being there Thursday or Friday, well, Wednesday or Thursday, I think it was, or later Friday, they had run out of some stuff, but not as bad.
Not like last year.
Not like last year when it was mostly generic merchandise and lots of empty space. So I think Avengers was better this year than last year. So I think they're getting better at matching what they think is demand to supply, and they certainly had lots of variety. I still, as a guy, complain because it seems like there's more variety in the women's shirts, and the women's shirts are cooler. But then I have that same problem with general Star Wars merchandise in the parks, that apparently women have style and fashion and buy lots of clothes, and, you know, guys are stuck with stormtroopers or something like that.
All right, so let's move on to the kids' races. Laura, you said you don't usually observe the kids' races, but you did this year?
I went to the kids' races this year. I had friends whose 15-month-old son was running his very first run as a race.
Wow.
Kids' race, so I went to watch him do the 100-meter, And so they hold the kids' races out in the, well, they stage them out in the downtown Disney parking area. It turns out the course, they run the last about 100 meters of the regular race course through downtown Disney, and they finish at the same finish line that that all the rest of the races do. So for the 200 meter, I think part of it was in the downtown Disney parking lot, and for the 400 meter, there was a fair bit of it in the downtown Disney parking lot before they ended up on the race course at the end. Anyway, I saw the 100 meter, and they had the kids go off in groups of about 50, and they all had a parent with them. So there were, you know, that was the 100 was the 1 to 3 year olds. And there were some pretty fast runners in those 3 year olds. I was pretty impressed, but a lot of them were just sort of toddling or walking along. And so, our little guy, he walked the whole thing. His mom had made him a Han Solo costume, and she was dressed as Chewbacca, and they were adorable. So they had, and they had Chewbacca at the finish line. So he was up there along the side, cheering for the kids as they came across. Rudy and Carissa were doing the race announcing, and so they were a lot of fun to listen to. And they had, with Chewie there on the sideline, it was interesting because some of the kids were just fascinated by him, and other ones just looked at him and just sort of ran away.
Yeah, I would think that they would.
Yeah, so wow. It was really a lot of fun and a great atmosphere, and everybody was having a really good time. So I can see why the kids' races are so popular. A lot of them were in costume.
Oh, that's adorable.
And both the parents and the kids. So it was really a lot of fun.
Yeah, Carissa always enjoys them. And in Disneyland, you don't have to really go far to see them. Nope. You're already
right
there.
So, yeah. It was really easy. Yeah, I didn't have to get myself over to Wide World of Sports or something like that.
Yeah. All right, Lee, why don't you take us through the half marathon? What were your impressions?
It was very similar to the half marathon last year.
Mm-hmm.
It was a subset of the course that we ran for the 10K. Still a little bit windy and lots of backstage, but you didn't have the gratuitous tram excursion and some of those different things. The worst problem I had was, you know, Disney's famous for their fastidiousness, mm-hmm. and they normally power wash all the public areas every night. Well, the humidity was up, or they'd gotten to it late or something, but the whole course in the parks was wet at one degree or another. And the particular set of shoes I was running in, I think, must not be as sticky as my normal ones, because every now and then I would find I never really slip, but I'd be running, and that sort of feeling when you don't have 100% traction, you get like when you're running on ice or something like that. I get that every now and then.
Oh my gosh.
I saw a woman, you know, come out of the restroom and, you know, kind of accelerate and make the turn to get in with the flow of traffic and go right down. And I know talking to Eddie McCoy, who was actually running that race a bit faster, he couldn't run at full speed through the parks because he said two or three times he felt a foot start to give way. And he decided that, you know, that this course has lots and lots of out of the park time that you can make up. And so he dropped it back a little bit going through the park so as not to end up with an injury. So again, probably not as much of an issue maybe later in the race or if you're more of a crowd, but it was wet, which was a little bit of an intriguing thing. Like I said, very similar course, a little bit less time in the park, just because they didn't need to kill quite so much.
And how would you know what it's like to run on ice? I'm just wondering. Mr. San Diego.
Every now and then we go to the Eastern Sierra.
Okay.
I mean, we're out of the park by roughly 4.5 miles on this one. And then this is just a great course if you want to make up time, because there's a long stretch down Harbor, you know, and then you make a turn and you go down Garden Grove. And then it gets kind of interesting because you start winding through a little bit of downtown Garden Grove. Disney did a good job, just like they do in Anaheim or the West Coast all the time. Decent number of cheerleaders, decent number of bands. There's a couple of the courses that go through residential areas, so not surprising they don't put bands and cheerleaders in those areas at like, 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm sure the people that live there appreciate that. So the Disneyland half course is almost all industrial stuff, so it can have folks spread out over the whole course. You end up with these kind of strangely silent sections on like Tink and this one, just because you are running through residential areas and they're quiet. But as we knew from last year, and it was every bit as good, if not better, this year, truly the highlight of this one is the cosplayers that you run into kind of mile 8, mile 9. There was a couple sets of them like there was last year, interspersed with customized cars and vans and things like that. I would say there was probably maybe 40 of them in the first batch, 30 or 40, but couple hundred probably in the second batch. I mean, it was a really, really long, great costumes, both for the light side and the dark side. And something that I didn't even know was a genre was steampunk Star Wars. So
yeah.
There was 15 or 20 folks that were there in variations of Star Wars costumes that had been steampunk. So that was sort of entertaining. And then again, nice straight shot back. There's a mile that you run on the other side of the street with the opposite the folks that are coming up Harbor. So sort of got to see the end of the race go by as I was struggling later in my race to make it back. But a nice course. I really enjoy this course. It's a nice combination of spending some time in the parks early and then just going out and running as fast as you can with a nice break towards the end to see all the cosplayers and then back into the park.
Yeah, Lee, you mentioned how the footing was kind of funky. I noticed that right around New Orleans Square, right around the Haunted Mansion. Anywhere where there was some bricks, I noticed it was a little bit slippery running on them, and I was very concerned, especially in the dark, when you couldn't see. Do you remember the tunnel we went through where you could hear Darth Vader breathing?
Yes, that was great.
Yeah, that was kind of, it was great, but it was dark in some spots.
Oh, it was?
Yeah, where I went through, it was dark. Yeah. I was, well, on Saturday, I ran on the left side. On
so
Sunday,
why don't you explain to people a little bit about how you explained it to me, what that was, that tunnel, how it was sort of like in the studios?
Well, actually, I would defer to Lee and Laura. I don't know exactly where it was, but
between Fantasyland and Frontierland.
Okay.
So this, Mike, was this the big tunnel or the little tunnel?
It was the one where you heard Darth Vader breathing.
The little tunnel.
Little tunnel.
The little
yeah,
tunnel.
That,
yeah.
Yeah, that one basically passes under. It comes out kind of near Big Thunder Mountain, right at the in between Fantasyland and Adventureland, Frontierland. So, and that's one of those things. Now, Laura says we've done it before. I don't really remember doing. We don't do that one very often. I'll put it that way.
Yeah.
And it was small and short, though. And the Darth Vader was very cool, though. It was funny because you heard Darth Vader, and then you got to the end, and there was the typical Disney announcer. Because you came out of that, and you had a hard right. I kept thinking they should have had Darth. They should have had somebody re-record his dialogue to be your. Life will take an abrupt turn.
Yeah.
Right. That would have been really funny in keeping in the... But it wasn't dark when we were there, so that's interesting.
At least I remember that being dark. It was kind of funny because as I'm, this was my first time running this course, so I was really curious about how it was going to go and how many miles. My GPS said it was about 5.3 miles before we got outside, and it might have been because I was weaving a little bit here and there, but... I thought that it was kind of interesting that we spent so much time in the parks. I really enjoyed the cosplayers. I was just amazed as to how many I saw and the quality of the costumes.
Yeah,
I was comparing it to the Avengers. It was really, really something. I think I counted almost 50 stormtroopers. It might be off a little bit, but that was really something. And then coming back, I really enjoyed it. I had a lot left in the tank because I kind of slowed down. I wanted to take it all in, and running with a bunch of friends, stopping to say hi here and there. I really enjoyed it. I thought that the weather was perfect compared to what it was on the East Coast the week before. It was somewhat humid. It was kind of nice to run in shorts and a regular t-shirt, running shirt for two weekends in a row after running up here in the cold. But I really enjoyed the course. I like it.
Yeah, one thing about the course I don't think we mentioned. In the parks, we had all the great Star Wars music in the background as we're running in various areas.
Oh, even fun. In the backstage.
And that's always really fun to be able to hear the different music. And then we've talked about the character thing. And one of the things that I try and tell people at the half marathon is don't worry about the characters in the park and stopping for them, because you're going to get much better and more variety of character opportunities when you get to the cosplayers.
Yes.
And there's no lines.
Yes. And did you must have seen two or three cars that were refurbished.
Yeah.
To look like the Millennium, like a starfighter jet or whatever, and they had R2-D2 on top, and then there was one that had Yoda sitting in front of the car.
Yeah,
it was really something that people just went through so many lengths and so much cost to do that. They really looked pretty cool.
Yeah, we have friends who are into that, and one of them was out on the course. She was dressed as an X-Wing pilot, so we saw our friend Caitlin out there, and that was always fun to see her out there.
Cool. So finishing up, let's talk about the medals. So if you did the 10K, the half, and half of them you did the Rebel Challenge. Lee, can you describe the 10K medal? We'll go around, have one person describe each.
I don't have mine with me.
Okay. I am a huge, huge, huge X-Wing fan. I loved that part of the Star Wars mythology, and I loved the X-Wing book series and stuff like that. So I was very happy to find out that this year's icon for the 10K was the X-Wing. It's a beautiful, beautiful medal. It's very classic because there's no color on it, but it's really a nicely shaped, nicely done X-Wing, and then the shirt has a big X-Wing on it too. So they make a lovely match set, and it's one of my favorite medals ever.
Cool. All right. What about the half, Laura?
So the half marathon medal is the same as last year. It's the Medal of Yavin, or Yavin, depending on how you say it, which was at the end of the first Star Wars movie, A New Hope. That was the medal that Leia gave to Luke and Han Solo. Now, of course, I don't understand why Chewie didn't get one too, but...
That's a whole nother conversation for a different podcast.
So the half marathon medal is a replica of that particular medal.
I am just not enough of a geek to even know that. So I'm glad you described that. Mike, what about the Rebel Challenge?
The Rebel Challenge medal is, it looks like it's a silver medal. It's a spinner medal. And the spinner has, I think it's got R2-D2 on one side. But I forgot what was on the other side. I think it was the Rebel
seal. Yeah, it's the color version of the Rebel seal, which is the same thing the metal shaped as.
Really, really nice.
We have the right people here answering that question.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, what's nice is that all three medals are different colors. The one that Lee described is kind of a...
Pewter,
that's exactly. Laura's is kind of gold, I guess you'd say, Laura. And then the Rebel Challenge one is silver. So I think they did just an outstanding job.
That's neat. Yeah. I don't think I've seen a pewter-colored Disney medal before.
Yeah, I don't think so. One thing I was interested in this year, I was expecting the Rebel Challenge medal to be the same as last year. Last year, it was Yoda on one side and Darth Vader on the other. And this year, I wonder if it's because we have the Dark Side Challenge coming up that it was, as Mike said, R2-D2 on one side and the Rebel symbol on the other side.
Well, so my assumption is they're going to change the, I'll call it the mascot for the Rebel Challenge every year, and they're going to change it for the 10K. And obviously with Dark Side and Light Side, they're not going to put Vader on it. But I expect we'll see somebody other than R2 on the on the Rebel Challenge next year.
I guess we'll see next year.
I guess we
yeah,
will.
Yeah, so that was my last question. Are you going to run this again?
Oh, yeah.
Mike,
oh, yeah.
What about you?
It's his favorite race weekend.
Am I going to run it again?
Yeah.
I don't know. I might.
Are you going to do the plane thing?
It's possible I might. I'm looking forward to the dark side. I'm looking at the dark side medals.
Those are amazing.
They're pretty nice.
Mm-hmm. The Kessel Run medal.
The Kessel Run is very nice. I actually checked it because until I actually knew I was going to do this, this is going to sound funny, and many people may not believe this, but the first time I laid eyes on the Kessel Challenge medal was when I was in the Disneyland Hotel last week. And
oh,
I looked
wow.
at it, and it's like, oh, that's what I'm running for. And I saw that on Saturday, so I'm thinking, all right, so tomorrow I'm not running for one or two medals. I'm running for about four of them. So, because I was thinking about I'm running for the half, I'm running for the coast to coast, I'm running for the Rebel Challenge medal, and I'm also running to be eligible for the Kettle Challenge.
Yeah.
Kettle Challenge. So that was like a four medal race for me, and I just said, you know, I'm going to take it easy and relax and enjoy it and take it in. And I actually recommend that to anyone who's running any Run Disney race for the very first time. Don't worry about running fast. Worry about making sure you get your money's worth. Enjoy it. Enjoy the sights. Take photos with the characters because you only run a Disney race once. You know what I mean?
No,
you only run a Disney race first once.
First
like
once. Okay, yeah, so. Now I understand. All right. Well, it sounds great. I was sick in bed the whole time, just staring at the ceiling. I couldn't have run even if I had gotten there. I would have.
Well, I woke up with a sore throat on the morning of the half. Yeah. I'm thinking, uh-oh.
Well, it was fun following you guys. And I'm looking forward to seeing you guys in April.
Yes.
Yes.
That'll be great. Laura, I want to give you a chance to talk about your blogs for All Ears because you've, as usual, you've done a great job documenting all of this. So tell
Thank
people
you.
Where to find those.
So you can find the blogs on allears.net if you go to the blog section and look at the Disneyland blog, then that's where my race blogs are for this last weekend.
Awesome. And we're changing our title to Mickey Miles and More, and we would love to invite you guys on to talk about racing and more. So we hope to have you on again very soon.
We will be very happy to come on the new podcast.
So, yes, great. Thank you. So, Mike, thank you for sharing your adventures, too. Glad you made it.
Yeah,
okay.
I wish I could have spent more time with Laura. I didn't even have enough time to go into the parks. I didn't buy any tickets because I had just – there was also
you
a football
a
game.
Mission.
Yeah, I had to watch a football game on Saturday. And I watched it with Anna McCoy and a friend of mine who works with me, Susan Poon. We watched it at the ESPN Club, and that was enjoyable. And then that night I had a dinner with the McCoys, and I was dead tired. That was Saturday night, and then the next day was the half marathon, and I was just not really ready to go into the park. So, but I did get to see Lee and Laura have breakfast after I finished the half marathon. And actually,
right.
We ate Uber. Is that the name of the place? Yeah, we ate there. Eddie and Phil and Anna and I, we ate there Sunday night. So that was good.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's a nice place.
Yeah. So it's interesting. The folks who come from the East Coast normally, especially the ones who don't get to Disneyland very often, the Disneyland races are a challenge because they're often burning the candle at both ends because they're trying to do all the things they want to do with it at the parks and manage to get a race weekend again, which is another reason, I think, Mike, why your advice of, you know, in general, if you're running a Disney race, especially if you don't do too many of them, maximize the Disney experience.
Right.
You know, if you're an East Coaster coming to Disneyland, there's lots of cool things that are unique to California Adventure and Disneyland and right now with all the great nighttime activities. So, you know, people have to stay up so they can see Paint the Night and see the fireworks show and everything. And it's a little more of a challenge. So figure you're not going to probably set a PR and run your best race ever if you're playing in the theme parks and trying to run.
Yeah. And if you want to do those things at night, then think about staying a few days after the race weekend I would actually say that rather than do that before the race weekend. I mean, if you want to do all those activities, then by all means, you know, go to it. But I would plan them after the race weekend events are over.
All right. Well, I think we got a very thorough report here. Good. So thank you, everybody. So for Lee Zimmerman, from Laura Gilbert, from All Ears, for my delightful co-host, Mike Scopa, this is Michelle Scribner-McLean saying we will see you on the road. The Mickey Miles podcast is brought to you by MEI Travel and Mouse Fan Travel, who will handle your family vacation, reunion, honeymoon, corporate incentive trip, or getaway as if it were their own, bringing premium service and expert advice to help you get the most out of your vacation dollar. Visit them at mei-travel.com or mousefantravel.com.
Thank you for joining us on today's episode of the Mickey Miles Podcast. We hope you enjoyed listening. If you would like to support the Mickey Miles Podcast, please go to mickeymiles.podbean.com and click the green Become a Patron button in the upper right-hand corner of the menu bar. We thank you for your support. Don't forget, our discussion continues on Facebook at facebook.com/mickeymilespodcast. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/mickeymilespod. And don't forget, if you have any questions, you can send them to questions@mickeymilespodcast.com. We'll try to answer them as soon as possible. For all of us here at the Mickey Miles Podcast, this is Rick Gray saying thanks for listening and all your support. And until next time, we'll see you on the road.